Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. And because we're not taking phone calls here, you can call down at the fan a little later on if you wish to be Baltimore Negative about the refereeing or the coaching or the quarterback or the offensive line or the pass rush or any, or just losing to Pittsburgh in general. We're going to be out doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in good spirits, no matter what. Because it's the holiday season and I'm drinking eggnog every morning of my life and enjoying it. And I have gingerbread available, all sorts of things, including crab cakes. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is back out on the road, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I will have candy cane scratch offs because I'm going to write to Roz today, reminder. And then on Thursday, we'll be at De Pasquale's in the morning. I'm shuttling guests in and out. And then Friday, no problem getting guests at Honey's at Halethorpe. I got a full house over there for our first appearance over there. I'm going to have some delicious, some pot stickers. I'm going to have some great Asian food. I'm going to talk about some Asian cuisine as well, as have some crab cakes and some crab dip as well. No chili for me in Cincinnati next week, but it was chili in Baltimore on Sunday where. Luke, I'm tired of talking about them losing, and I certainly, I put the post-game radio on. I went over because I'm locked out, and I was texting back and forth with Mike Tomlin after the game. So I have my post-game. You know how Sunday Night Football goes to the locker room? Yeah, I figured it out with Tomlin. But I went and got some pizza at Pizza John's, and I listened to the post-game. And it's real easy after this one to go into the referee hole, right? And that's not what you and I do. It's not what you and I do. You're already nodding out on the video. But I've been thinking about this because you and I did not do radio in the aftermath on Sunday night. We waited a few hours, kind of slept on it a little bit, awakened before the chickens and the crows on Monday morning. And I'm going to give you what was that show on ESPN? First Take. Go ahead. You get First Take. Luke Jones for the win.
Well, I'll go back to what I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, and I started off with the officiating because it is a big story because the rest of the league's talking about it. I was talking about it Sunday night, was talking about it Monday morning, right? Those two overturned fourth quarter calls would have been even more infuriating in an alternate timeline. Had the Ravens been the team we all thought they were going to be in 2025 and they were duking it out with Buffalo, or maybe Kansas City wouldn't also be 6-7 right now, and they'd be fighting it out for the number one seed and home field advantage. You'd be infuriated about that if you're a Ravens fan. And fans are still ticked off, and I understand that because regardless of the ramifications, I don't know how you reconcile the ruling that Aaron Rodgers catches his own deflection on a ball that looked like it was going to be intercepted by Teddy Buchanan, and the Ravens have the ball at least in field goal range right off the bat. And the decision to overturn Isaiah Likely's go-ahead touchdown with 2:43 to play. I mean, right off the bat, I just want to clarify that. I agree with all the frustration there. I would be infuriated if I were a Ravens fan looking at that, and if this team were the team we all thought they were going to be. And that was the difference between maybe being the number one seed and having home field and
Imagine if you're
maybe being
betting
the
on
number
this
two.
stuff, though, right? You're betting on this stuff too.
Sure.
So that's the other part of this, because that really is where the angst comes in for a lot of people are bleeding heart. And, we got to win. It's the 25th anniversary of the Ravens, like all
Sure.
of that. And we got screwed. And even Jason Garrett, it's Sunday night. They got screwed three times. And I'm sure that, the talking head, Stephen A., everybody would be at it all week long in regard to that. But there is the point where, like, they
We can't,
lost, and,
it can't mask the truth that is becoming more and more clear and has become abundantly clear these last 2 weeks when the Ravens just dropped back-to-back home division games. This team at best is painfully mediocre. Painfully mediocre. And that's probably a nice terminology when you're talking about a team that's under 500 as we're going into the second week of December. They're just not a good football team. And we can keep sitting here until we're blue in the face talking about, well, what about the rest of the AFC and Kansas City this and Buffalo that and New England's not that good and Denver's not that good. The Ravens aren't good. They have one win all season long against a team that currently has a winning record. I mean, it's what it is. They're not a good football team. I'm not saying they're the worst in the league or they're the Browns, but they're not a good football team. And we can, I mean, fans can sit there and keep waiting for this team to show up, the team that Vegas thought was the Super Bowl favorite and the team so many people were picking to represent the AFC. I mean, maybe you can do that when they're sitting at home in January. I don't know, but I can't let
Everybody on
those.
TV thinks they're making the playoffs.
Well, I
That's a
mean,
crazy thing. I'm
they.
like, based on what? Losing to Pittsburgh, Cincinnati,
Well,
but
because
like,
Pittsburgh's not good either. And that brings me to my second point, beyond just the fact that saying that the Ravens are painfully mediocre, not a good football team, however you want to categorize them. That's not good. It's six and they're 6-7, right? What do they do well? And we'll get to the specifics of the game, but my other point, my big takeaway from Sunday's game, and bear hang with me here, is how equally matched these teams looked, how similar they looked. Nestor, that's not a compliment to the Baltimore Ravens. That's not a compliment to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are exactly what they've been for years now, which is a fringe playoff team that no one thinks is going to make any noise at all in January. A team that hasn't won a playoff game in nearly a decade.
T.J. Watt's never won a playoff game.
And the Ravens have fallen to their level. It's a knock on the Ravens and what we continue to wait for them to be, that they're not, more so than a compliment to the Steelers. And look, let me be clear. Pittsburgh deserves credit for coming into Baltimore and beating the Ravens. They made more plays than the Ravens right off the bat. But starting with a deep ball on their first offensive play that
And Aaron Rodgers is the smartest guy on the field by a lot when he comes up
he
to the
played
line of
good
scrimmage in
football.
third down and waits to see what you're going to do and makes you call a timeout because he's about to slit your throat.
I mean, he played his best game as a Steeler, which I know is not a high bar. This was a team that had not completed. They didn't have a completed pass of air yards going 20 plus yards
Well, they
in the
weren't booing
entire.
Renegade here on, you know, like it wasn't fire the coach, it wasn't the kiss that Tomlin blew, like the whole deal. I all sorts of things went down because it was a very emotional weekend with the Super Bowl 35 team in. I would be remiss if I'm starting any segment here and not saying that I was, you know, lubricated up this weekend with Super Bowl 35 sugar plums and a lot of emotions about a lot of people and a lot of people in town in front of all of this. I don't even know how that went. That's its own segment. We'll talk about pass fail on all of that because Brian Billick was, I mean, Marvin, I mean, everybody was here. And the notion that Lamar looked healthier, and he did, right? I mean,
He looked better. Yeah.
better, right? So, I mean,
He
I think
played
that's
better.
part of the lead story in regard to what they're going to be in Cincinnati and what Cincinnati was over the weekend, which was one freak play away from beating them. You know, I mean, it was a freak. That was a freak interception at the end.
Crazy.
And that actually happened during a TV timeout. So I switched over and I'm like, wow, what a moment to switch over to that game. Because it for me with the Ravens in not doing anything well, that's really the lead story, right? The lead story is not the officiating, and we can go into that rabbit hole, but we're probably not going to because I don't think you and I have 15 minutes in us.
I mean, I acknowledge it right off the bat. I don't understand, right? I don't understand how Aaron Rodgers catches the deflection, like, and that's deemed a catch, and Isaiah Likely isn't. But I don't know what else to say about that, and I certainly am not going to sit here and complain about that for 2 hours, with all of our segments, and completely ignore the fact that this just isn't a good football team. It's like I said, my big takeaway is, the last few years when the Ravens have lost games to the Steelers, right? And that's happened. But we've all agreed that generally speaking, when you're talking in a big picture sense, the Ravens have been the superior team to the Steelers for several years now. When Lamar Jackson's been
Because
healthy,
they've had a
right?
quarterback, right? Like,
Right. They've been the better team. They've
literally.
had the better record. They've won the division more frequently, all that,
But
right?
you will say
But
that the Steelers and Tomlin have kept this thing together over a decade without a premium quarterback. Last 3 years of Roethlisberger, it was a little bit like where Aaron Rodgers is right now. Like, a
yeah, I
little
mean, at
bit,
least
which,
6 or 7 years. Sure, sure.
but their defense was always thought to be, it could be elite. They had some great players, but it's always been good enough to make games 23-21, at least against us, right? At least in the division to be slapping around that you're always playing them at Christmas. The game always matters. It's always a knockout punch for somebody. And this year, the schedule maker made two of them. There's still another one of these coming the last week in Pittsburgh. And it's made the season interesting, I think, in the realm of do you really believe in New England and Denver? And the Ravens are going to get the test in New England in, oh, about 13 days, right? So they'll figure that out. But The notion that whoever wins the division is going to get a home playoff game and they're going to see a team, Buffalo, won't be
Probably
Jacksonville at this
Buffalo.
point. It'll be
Probably
Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, I just but just to continue my point, it felt like in recent years when the Ravens would lose to Pittsburgh, it felt like the Ravens were dropping down a couple levels from what we'd seen over the course of the season, and they'd get beat. And Pittsburgh deserved credit any given Sunday, week to week league. We understand all those talking points. But what we've seen the Ravens largely be since the first 3.5 quarters of the Buffalo game, right? I mean, that's the only time all year for more than a couple drives here or there where the Ravens at all, in my mind and in my eyes, resembled the Super Bowl contender that they were last year and the year before in 2019. Like, we haven't seen that dynamic team all year, right? We just haven't. We've seen bits and pieces of things looking good for a quarter or two, and that's about it. But Sunday felt much more like these two teams are in the same weight class, right? This wasn't the Ravens.
Middleweights.
This wasn't the Ravens just, having a bad day. This is kind of what the Ravens have been. I mean, to your point, we saw a better version of Lamar Jackson, especially in the second half. The offense was better in the second half. Now, let's be clear. I'm not saying that that what we saw from Lamar Jackson was anything close to the two-time MVP, best player on the planet kind of Lamar Jackson that we've seen. I mean, he's still not that guy. And the problem is they need that guy at this point because you're talking about a team that now, at least in terms of not having to rely on a ton of help, kind of has to win out, right? I mean, if they
He
win
didn't
out.
feel like he had any Superman qualities on Sunday, that it felt like that burst of speed, that
It was
electricity.
better, but still clunky, still inconsistent, right? I mean, look at the 2-minute offense at the end of the game was awful. I mean, just awful. And that's not just Lamar. I mean, just the entire operation. It was slow. Guys weren't lining up properly. I mean, that shouldn't be happening in week 14, Nestor. You know that, especially for a team that fancies itself even a playoff contender, let alone a Super Bowl
I had
contender.
somebody I really, really respect, and I don't make things up on the radio after 30 years, who came up to me on Friday night, who's in a position of no, who said to me, "This person's not in a position of no. This person is in a position of no and how." Came up to me, sober. This was it was that kind of party if you wanted it to be, but this was just us talking. And he said to me, "They don't have good coaches."
Well,
That's literally what he said to me. And I think you probably know who said that to me, but they don't have good coaches, man. And I'm like, So, this whole thing, man, I do wonder where it goes, because our fans, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think our fans would ever yell fire Harbaugh, fire. I don't think we'll ever hear that in the stadium. I don't. I
I
don't know.
mean,
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I listened to the BAL postgame show, poor Keith Mills and Testoni's boy, over there. Like, I don't know. And there'll be no calling for it at WBAL, because that will not be allowed, because Dan Juris will allow that sort of thing over there, and Ravens.com. Like, I don't know where the end is, but this is sort of thuddy. And you got a quarterback. You got what Tomlin doesn't have. The Bengals are going to come. To me, the Bengals again in the offseason, and they'll be the Bengals, the Bungles, whatever, but they still have the quarterback. I mean, that was obvious in the snow running around, at 4-8 or whatever the hell they were when the game started, that this division and where they are, I don't know where the heart transplant comes here, because that's why they dealt for Roquan Smith, right? Because they didn't have enough leadership, because Marlon Humphrey is a pretend leader, always has been. I don't know where Ronnie Stanley is. Lamar is what Lamar is. I mean, this is not, he's a great athlete. He's a great player. He's evolved as a quarterback. Now he has no offensive line, and he's got Derrick Henry in the September of his song, and he's got Bateman not catching the ball. Flowers, I guess they can't get him the ball enough.
Yeah, I mean, Flowers is all. I mean, it's basically their entire passing game. I mean, Likely's come on here, other than when he gets close to the goal line, right? I mean, but.
Who's had a good year? I asked you that last week,
Well,
and now we're another 60 minutes into this and saying, Who's playing what? Travis Jones, maybe? I don't know. I mean,
I mean, individual players, Travis Jones, Kyle Hamilton, although Kyle, I was kind of hoping for Kyle Hamilton to have a signature moment Sunday. When you think about Pittsburgh, they like how much they love to dink and dunk and all that. But maybe this is where we transition a little bit here. I mean, we can talk all we want about the offense, right? And we said Lamar Jackson looked better in the second half. The offense came alive in the second half. They scored some points, looked better than it's looked in recent weeks against some bad football teams. But I mean, if we're beyond just the universal look at the Ravens and how I just said they're painfully mediocre, right? And how I said they looked evenly matched with Pittsburgh, which was much more a knock on the Ravens and whatever we thought their potential to be, and not really a compliment to the Steelers. I was wildly disappointed with their defense on Sunday. I mean, okay, I get it. They bowed up in the fourth quarter and they got three and outs and gave them a chance at the end. But my goodness, they gave up 27 points in three quarters to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, whose offense has looked anemic in for weeks and weeks. I mean, go back, go and look at what Rodgers' numbers have been since, I don't know, the third week of October. And I mean, they're throwing the ball over their head multiple times. And, you know, they did it without any semblance of a running game. And everyone thought that if Pittsburgh was going to have any chance to beat the Ravens in Baltimore, they were going to have to run the ball and control the clock. And they didn't really do that, but it didn't matter because they made big plays in the passing game. So I think for all the talk about the defensive improvement, and certainly they've improved from where they were the first five games of the season when they were the worst defense in franchise history through the first 5 weeks. We understand that. That bar was so low, it was tough to not think they were going to get better. This defense is average, maybe a little bit above average at best. They feast on bad quarterbacks, and we saw that after the bye week, right? They made Tua look bad. They made J.J. McCarthy look bad. They made Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders look bad. Tyrod Taylor had his moments against them, but obviously the Jets didn't do a whole lot against them offensively. But again, step up in weight class when Joe Burrow, who you just mentioned, comes into town, and Aaron Rodgers, who just turned 42 years old, and let's face it, has not looked like the Aaron Rodgers of Green Bay by any stretch of the imagination. You see what the defense did against those two quarterbacks. Not impressive. So, what kind of quarterbacks are you going to face in the playoffs, Nestor? I mean, how does that generally work? More often than not, you're going to face better quarterbacks in the playoffs, even if you get there.
Well,
So,
what you're talking about is Burrow, May, and Love the next 3 weeks on the road in the
yeah.
cold. And I don't know.
Two
I
of those
mean,
three on the road, right?
you can't name three quarterbacks better in the league than that. And I don't even want to hear about Mahomes right now. And put Josh Allen in there, you'll see him. Hey,
If
if
you
you
make
win
it, you're
enough,
most
you'll earn
likely
a
going to
ticket
see
to see
them,
him. You'll get to see him
probably in the
too.
wild card
Yeah.
round. Yeah. So that's where I look at this thing. And I said it to you a few days ago when we were breaking down this game. I said to you, ultimately, I'm going with the Ravens because I think the Ravens defense is the best unit on either side of the ball for either team. That was not the case on Sunday. So kind of goes back to the point that you just made. We can single out a couple individuals here and there that are having good years, but what's this team's identity? What does this team hang its hat on in terms of what they're really good at? I mean, even the special teams, which overall over the course of the season, I think have been better than they were last year. Special teams were bad on Sunday. I mean, maybe their worst performance of the year, at least going back to maybe like the Buffalo game, right?
Missed an extra point in December. It sounds like, you know what?
Well, it's not just that, he kicks the ball out of bounds to start the second half. I mean, think about that whammy right off the bat. Now, I understand that the defense was able to hold Pittsburgh to a field goal on that drive, but you had just gotten the touchdown at the end of the first half. You know, you missed the extra point, but it's a one-score game. You're
It's an
feeling better.
unforced error. It's like a double fault in
Sure.
tennis. It's stupid,
But you're
right?
feeling better about where you are going into the third quarter, understanding that Pittsburgh's going to get the ball, and Tyler Loop kicks the ball out of bounds, and then you give Aaron Rodgers all day long. I mean, some of those, I mean, any optimism about the pass rush taking some steps forward has completely evaporated the last 2 weeks. I mean, I'm sorry. Like that was one of those plays, and I even tweeted this out. That's one of those plays that if you're on the backfields in training camp and that's a 7-on-7 drill, They're blowing the whistle because the quarterback didn't get rid of the ball quickly enough because he's just held the ball and you say, nope, that's a coverage sack. Nope, that you're not just going to stand back there for 8 seconds. But, he finds Metcalf for 41 yards on that play. So, I mean, it's just wasn't good enough. Like I said, in recent years when the Ravens have lost to the Steelers, it felt, yes, on a in an any given Sunday kind of a way that the Ravens turn the ball over multiple times, a weird play happens here, a weird play happens there, and Pittsburgh somehow miraculously wins. I mean, Pittsburgh led most of the way on Sunday,
Yeah,
right?
given the
I mean, this
referees,
wasn't,
and I'll continue to bring the referees back
again,
in
that's
just so we
part of
keep our
it.
audience here,
That's part
because
of
that's what
it.
the audience is talking about,
I
is
mean,
referees.
the
Why aren't you
officiating,
guys talking about the referees? Well,
I acknowledge
you
it right
give them
off
a
the
chance
bat.
to screw you on a play, then you put yourself in, and you've been playing from behind all day, and your kicker's kicking the ball out, and you're just doing, not tackling, just basic things. I mean, it was a 42-year-old quarterback out there, but again, I go back to how smart he was in – not in adjusting to the Ravens defense. I mean, he sort of he did some film study this week. He did not want to come to Baltimore and be embarrassed. I mean, that's it. I mean, I said that all week
Sure.
long, that like there is some heart of some champion over there where you have a quarterback and a coach should have done it, and you got a bunch of guys, like a bunch of guys here, that have $100 million in the bank and feel like they've done something, but they, I have 4.5 fingers and they have less playoff wins, all of them, than that, So
Yeah, well, and not just Aaron Rodgers, but I think Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, remember, they have DK Metcalf, who might not be the guy he was in Seattle, but it's
get him
still
the
someone who can
ball.
make plays. I mean, and they finally got him the ball, and they got him the ball in some big play fashion. So, I mean, that's again where, again, we can talk about the officiating till we're blue in the face. And I already said I can't reconcile the Rodgers play being deemed a catch by him and the likely play not being a catch. That said, Pittsburgh had the lead from what, midway through the first quarter, through the end of the game. I mean, they were, and I'm, let me be clear. I don't think it was like, oh, it's not like they were destroyed by the Steelers. I'm saying like it felt like two middling, mediocre, fringe playoff teams duking it out on Sunday, and the Steelers made a couple more plays, and the Ravens were on the tough end of a couple controversial calls, and like that's that, right? I
Well,
mean,
to
it
your
easily.
point, when you say that it was a sloggy game on these sloggy teams, the problem with that is you look at the rosters and see how
Yeah.
much money the Steelers have spent on the defense, and they
Sure.
have a 42-year-old quarterback, and they have a well-paid coach, and the Ravens have all the same things. MVP quarterback, $50 million quarterback. They got Roquan Smith. They got Marlon Humphrey. They got Ron. They have Kyle Hamilton's going to the Hall of something. Mark Andrews gave him some money. He dropped the ball. So, like, I look at the names, Pro Bowler. Pat McCard's got more TV commercials than Lamar's ever had. I mean, I see Ricard eating pizza, doing all sorts of things. These guys are core guys in both of these cities, whether it's Hayward and Watt and, that whole group in Pittsburgh, to say neither one of these operations are any good. But to the fan bases, and I think to the general media and gamblers, especially on the Ravens side of things, people are still looking at the Ravens roster and saying, well, they got Lamar, they got Derrick Henry, they got D-Hop, they're gonna find a way to win the division. And I'm like, what way is that? Beating New England, beating Green Bay,
I mean,
going to Pittsburgh and winning?
they'll have their chance to do it, but they've had their chance to do it all year, right? I mean, I'll go back to bye, right around the bye, right? When the Ravens were 1-5, what did you hear the national media talking about? I mean, look, we acknowledged it. We weren't saying the season was over, right? You famously said you thought they were going to be 7-7, which, hey, if they beat Cincinnati, they're going to be 7-7, right? Although I said to you at the time,
Don't turn
like,
me into a bad guy this weekend.
I mean, we're keeping it real here. They're 6-7. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm not going to sit here and pat them on the back. But we said it at the time that, yes, there was a path after the bye with a schedule that looks soft on paper. And it was. And they won five in a row. And they deserve credit for that, right? Especially considering the best win in that stretch was against Chicago. And Lamar didn't even play in that game. But we also acknowledged what a lot of the national, the talking heads and the pundits weren't talking about when they were 1-5. It was the injuries really, really, truly didn't pile up until they were well on their way to being 1-3 in Kansas City, right? Marlon Humphrey left during that game. Roquan Smith left during that game. Lamar left late in the third quarter in that game. They were on their way to being 1-3. They weren't winning the football game with those guys on the field. They weren't playing well. So it goes back to they were 1-3 with Lamar Jackson at that point in time. They went 1-2 in the three games that Lamar sat out. If they were 1-2 in the three games that Lamar sat out, what's their record with Lamar Jackson? 5-5. Now, first thing anyone would say, Luke, well, Lamar's been hurt. I fully acknowledge that, right? But at the same time, you look at their roster, it's not as though they've been completely decimated and shredded by season-ending injuries. The Madubuike one, I will give you, no question about that. They have missed him and missed him a bunch because the pass rush was one of those elements that we talked about going into the season, wondering if it was going to be good enough, and you lost your best pass rusher. So I fully acknowledge that. But this is not Kansas City playing on Sunday night with multiple starters and even losing your backup left tackle on your offensive line. I mean, this offensive line's been intact all year, right? I mean, what? Stanley missed one game. Stanley missed parts of a couple other games. But it's not as though, like, when Aaron Schatz puts out the adjusted games lost due to injury list, which he usually does in like March. The Ravens aren't going to be anywhere close to the top in that, right? I mean, they're not, maybe not as healthy as they were last year, but they've still been healthier than a lot of teams out there. I mean, go look at what the state of Buffalo's defense is right now, with missing Ed Oliver, and they were down a couple other guys on Sunday. So injuries are part of it. And look, Lamar Jackson being banged up and missing time and not being 100%, that's absolutely zapped the Ravens of some of their ceiling. But at the same time, it goes back to the point that you just made. You still look at this roster and you see all these Pro Bowl players and all these high-priced players and high-profile players. And it's really tough to look at this football team and say that the sum is as great as their parts. I mean, and that's generally speaking, that's a bad reflection on coaching. And that's where I have to look at that. And it's not to say necessarily that everyone's going to be fired or should be fired or will be fired, but an acknowledgement of no, this team hasn't lived up to expectations, not even close. I mean, it's one thing to say that you're picking them to win the Super Bowl in August. I mean, they're 6-7. I mean, they're at a point now where is there a path still? Yeah, of course there is, because the AFC North's not good. And I still don't think Pittsburgh is very good, but you're not good. I mean, they're not good. I mean, like, it's just they have one win all season against a team that had a winning record, that has a winning record right now. I mean, they have a couple other wins where you'd say, all right, well, maybe that looks a little bit better now. You know, Miami's played better since the Ravens won down there on Thursday night and they canned the GM, but I mean, they're just not good.
I look at the
Not good.
conference and I'm like, oh my God, these teams are two, three wins ahead of them in this wild card thing. They're having like, oh, how many teams are better than them is what I'm the way I'm looking at it. And I'm like, and how many 6 and 7 teams I look at and say that team stinks. Miami, well,
Yeah,
they might finish with a
same
better record
record.
than the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean it's and it, again, that goes back to what I
Better
said
hope
as
we're not
far.
talking about draft picks 2 weeks from now. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like literally, right?
Well, I mean, I think it's this still has the feel to me. And look, I told you last week I wasn't a big believer. I don't believe in this football team. I mean, I just don't. That said, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to lose out. Although I don't know which games I feel great about at this point.
I
I
don't
mean,
know,
I don't feel
dude.
great about any of them.
This
Like,
is
I'm
where
not.
I would take a break because my next topic is job security.
But I would
You
say,
know,
but I
I'm
would say
going to do a
this.
whole segment on what makes everybody safe around here and how upended the apple cart should and needs to be. And I'm not doing boo and renegade and fire Tomlin or fire Harbaugh or I think the owner should be fired based on the information I have because he's awful. Just in a general, just the Super Bowl 35 weekend, the empty seats, the bad look, just Harbaugh's demeanor about all of it, just gross. You just all of it. And I know things I know that I shouldn't know that, well, maybe I should know them. But you know, I spent the weekend with some legends as well. And, my ears are burning, and that was before the game started.
But just to, and we'll certainly, we'll get into all that because I mean, it's getting late, right? I mean, we're down to the last four games. We're in December
Well,
at
you're
this
like, what
point in
happens
time.
if they lose out? There's a chance of that. I mean,
Oh,
it's not, and especially if Lamar can't make it can't practice on Wednesday. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
the whole thing
they're
is,
just not very good. I
yeah.
mean, nothing about it's very good. I mean, it's not horrendous. It's not Cleveland Browns terrible, but it's not very good. Like, it's just not. Like, I don't know how
For
to.
the good money Steve Bisciotti's paying for this high priced talent.
But I will say, I don't think Pittsburgh's very good. Pittsburgh still has to go to Detroit. These teams still meet week 18. Do I think Pittsburgh's going to have the division locked up with 2 weeks to go? No,
No.
I don't
You think
really
you're
feel
going to
to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh on January 4th, right?
Probably. That said,
And I think it might be the 8 o'clock Sunday night
it
game
might
that
be.
it's going to
It
wind up
might
being,
be.
it's going to have stakes. I mean,
That's.
I'll bet anything right now that it will have a stake in the division, that's a big, big, big football game amongst two lousy teams for the rights to play next week at home against the Bills, right? That's
Yeah,
pretty much the way this is going to break
but
down.
that said, fully acknowledging that, do I think the Ravens are going to win out? No. Do I think they could lose three of their last four? Absolutely. I mean, like,
Well, what are they going to do the next 3 weeks? They're going to go 2-1. Pittsburgh going to go 1-2. If Pittsburgh goes 2-1, they go 2-1. What
I mean,
if Pittsburgh goes 3-0 and they go 1-2? The game means nothing.
Pittsburgh has Miami at home Monday night, like this coming Monday night. Dolphins are playing way better. They're in Pittsburgh. You would think they'll certainly be favored in that game. They go to Detroit,
I know one
but
thing: the Dolphins will be cold on the sidelines.
yeah, they go to Detroit. But I mean, Detroit's defense at this point in time now with Brian Branch gone, they go to Cleveland. I mean, the Browns, my goodness, losing to the Titans. Oh my goodness. I mean, for
Can
even
you
for the
imagine the
Browns,
Browns bloody the Steelers' nose that
we've
week
seen
while the
it
Ravens
happen.
lose in Green Bay, forcing that would be so this year that the
Where the
Steelers were
win,
back in, you know, like
and at that point, they're playing for the division, and the winner's 9-8, right? I
they're
mean, like
both
that's,
8-8, right?
yeah. So, look, there is a path. It's possible. The season is not over, no matter how it feels. But I don't believe in this football team. I just don't. And that's where I kind of go back to the lead. Where, yeah, you can be mad about the officiating, and I get that, and I am scratching my head along with everyone else, and that's the kindest way I could put it. But I also can't build up the rage that as though this team was duking it out for the number one seed or was a serious Super Bowl contender. They look nothing like that. They are the definition of paper champions in 2025. I mean, it's
If Harbaugh's
just what it
being
is.
honest, he could pull his guys in and say, we gave the refs a chance to screw us.
Sure. And I hope that was part of the message because, yeah, because if you were truly worth what you thought you were to be as a football team, I mean, you should beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, they ran
At
for
home
two.
with the
Yeah,
Super Bowl
at home.
35 champs
I
in the
mean,
house.
back-to-back home AFC North losses on the same day that you honored your first Super Bowl team. I mean, that's, and as you pointed out, we'll get into it. I know that's for another conversation, the empty seats. I mean, just bad. Just bad. To use John Harbaugh's term from a decade ago, below the bar.
I received some confirmation over the weekend, and I'm going to close with this, and we'll come back and we'll get into it. We're going to talk about coaching. We're going to talk about the freaking refs. We'll talk about all that, right? I got some information over the weekend. Do you know the word I've used to describe the organization many, many times? I've used a word begins with an S, ends with a Y, sleazy. And sleazy is where I'm going to leave it. And I think as I traverse the city, and this is really disconcerting to me as we get to the holidays, right? And I'm wearing my purple Curio, shirt, and I'll get my orange one out. How people feel about the Orioles, and you and I talked a lot about that last week in regard to Birdland and in regard to whatever, I'm gonna say damage control. They don't even acknowledge the damage, the Orioles. They're a last place team. Half million, they don't even acknowledge it. And the Ravens have this smell of arrogance about them at every, I mean, just to breathe the air of Sashi Brown or Steve Bisciotti or DaCosta at this point, who used to be a dude, used to sit in my house, used to have coffee with me five times a year, used to be my friend, used to be a professional relationship that had some meat to it. All of that has fallen apart. The Super Bowl 35 champs came in, and almost half of them acknowledge before they went to the stadium on Sunday, it's not the way it used to be. I saw them on Friday night. They're asking me, what's up with the empty seats? What's up with this? What's up with Harbaugh? Like all of this, the people that don't know the players, the people that own car dealerships 1,000 miles away and are off living their lives, doing other things, having a beautiful life. Almost all of them, although there's been a lot of tragedy involved with the Super Bowl 35 team, just in a general sense, as I'm sitting at a table with Trent Dilfer and Brandon Stokely, right? And you start to consider what they've been through with their families. J. Lou, two seconds away up to the sky. So there's been real humanity amongst these 50-something and 60-something-year-old humans to come back. And my 30-year relationship with these men and their wives, many of their wives. I had more fun with their wives than I did with them in some degree because they wanted to hang out with each other. And the wives were over talking to me because they remember me from 30 years ago. So there's a familial feel of that Modell feeling that I felt on Friday night that I haven't felt in years, Luke, years, years, years around the joy of the team. And I know there are a lot of people still hanging on, buying their PSLs, and Mueller's up in 513, and I see my boy Jeff, and some people buy tickets. I've had a lot of people say over the recent years, I'm giving mine up, I'm selling, whatever, I'm getting too old, too tired, whatever. But the backfill of the next generation, my kid who's your age, who doesn't want to go, and I want to talk more about that because sleazy is not a nice word. It's not a word. I'm a wordsmith. I looked up the synonyms. I have AI. My clone helped me. Sleazy's like, that's not a word I use. And I've used it and it's been backlash to me on it. And then I find that information, confirm information, just about all of it. And that really it sickens me, and it sickens me to see the empty seats, and that they have to put up on their billboards when to cheer when the Steelers are in town, and then the Steelers score, and the television lit up with terrible towels, and I'm like, ooh, that's a bad television look. I'm not there. I realize the Steelers fans are all sitting behind the bench or trying to, but there are Steelers fans everywhere. They weren't just behind the bench, and not that that's a cardinal sin that their fans want to get in. But the fact that our fans don't want to get in week after week after week, and that their brand manager is Chad Steele, who's never been in front of a mic, who doesn't stand in front of the brand, who doesn't speak. The one who speaks is the coach. And half the time he's a prick and he's in a bad mood because they're losing. And the whole look of it, the ads I get served, their social media, ticket ads in the middle of the games. Come be a part of it. Come be a part of the sensation of the power. Blah, 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 blah. And the real men who built it and the people who stood upon this to fill it and create enthusiasm. And yes, I'm pointing at myself because I found only 1,000 barn pictures from back in the era where they were 4-12 and wearing purple Barney uniforms and were a joke and Art's getting kicked by the dogs. That's the team that won the Super Bowl. That's what rallied all of this. That's what's kept people in the upper deck for the last 25 years. The hope of that and that feeling that you had. And, it's a Barry Manilow song. I've been up, down, trying to get that feeling again. I don't know. That feeling doesn't feel like it's going to come back in the next 5 weeks. And if they get a game against the Bills on the 11th, it ain't going to feel like the Broncos game did in 2001. It ain't going to feel like the Colts game did in 06. I don't even know if it's going to feel like the Chiefs game did 3 years ago because the disappointments stack up on the field, off the field, the officiating, the gambling, all the things you and I say, God, what happened to the league? What happened to the presentation of the game? What happened to somebody on the radio in the city being able to criticize them without getting their press credential taken away? Like, what are they doing? So that's a question for Bisciotti because I hope he doesn't have like that. What's that blind spot on the internet where you're web blindness? You don't see the ads, that you don't see the empty seats, you don't see the standings, you don't see the fact that you people don't want to come to your games, you don't see the SeatGeek prices on game day, you didn't see the stadium empty out 3 times this year, you don't see that your coaching might not be very good, you don't see the picking out the personnel might not be so great on the offensive and defensive line. You don't see that your brand manager behaves with an arrogance, and your team president, that it's gross. All of it's gross. So I'll leave it at that, and we'll come back talk some more football because I need to go off on that because team 6-7, and I just learned some information this weekend that's just disturbing to me. So I'm Nestor. He's Luke. He'll have plenty more to say about football, and I'll come back and try to not be cranky because we're Baltimore positive, and even though we're not in first place.